right. You know, I just kind of fell by the wayside. Now, I'm not going to bust your chops on the fact that we've been going over this for a month, a little over now. But if you did, it's okay. Amen. There are some faith promise commitment cards on the table, on the front. And if you would, if you want one, if you haven't got one yet for whatever reason, that's fine. Just get it and then put it in the bucket, and we'll make adjustments as necessary. But I did see Ali's 100,000 in there. Amen. So I'm thankful for Ali's faithfulness. Amen. And listen, as I said Wednesday night, I don't know how many have caught this. I don't know who it is that gives and doesn't. I don't want to know. But I am thankful that our children, I'm talking about from the youngest, and I look out there, and we've got four youngins in here today. They're all being held. Amen. And, well, they have to be held. I'm not saying that. Amen. Brother Stephen's like, my mom was here. I'd have sat on her lap, too. I'm thankful that we've got some youngins, because I'm telling you, our country's in a mess.
Yes,
and we've got some generations coming up that don't know the Lord, and I'm thankful that we can reach them one at a time. Amen. And so you continue to pray for that. Be a part of it. Do invite and let others know. Of course, we're still on YouTube. We're still going live for all of our services. And I know we've got some that aren't able to come right now on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights, but yet they can have all of them still on YouTube, and I'm thankful for that. So promote it. Let others know. I would love to have 1,000 subscribers. You say, Preacher Rock, where are we? At 108. Amen. I know some of you are going, man, Preacher, you've been counting this for a while. You know, we're a whole lot closer than we were 6 months ago.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And by the way, God's able. Get out there and promote it. Let them know. I'm telling you, people will follow the stupidest things. But the truth, it seems like so many don't want it. But I'm thankful there are still some out there. So you promote it. Let others know. Now, Jeremiah, what's Tuesday? His birthday. Amen. We have been counting this down for, I think, 6 months now. He's excited. Going to turn 5 years old. And thankful for that. I tell you what a blessing it is to have a five-year-old in the house. Keeps daddy young. Amen. And I know some of you say, Preacher, I think you're crazy. I'd do it again. I would do it again. And, even right now. Amen. I'm thankful for that. And thank you, Jeremiah. So, I've always sing happy birthday to Jeremiah. You want to sing happy birthday to you? You know what's precious? I don't know how many have ever noticed this, but Jeremiah, you cannot say someone's name. You know, inside. We want some entertainment. We want some singing. Listen, I don't know. We started off with glory to his name. I was about to have a shouting fit there. Amen. I love it. Boy, we need to praise him for it. You ever get discouraged? You ever get, you know, just even to the point, frustrated. Maybe it's not even discouraged, just frustrated. It just seems like every direction you try to turn, there's just a roadblock or there's just some discouragement. We were headed to Brother Donnie and Sister Hazel's on Friday, and I noticed there at the turn on 169, you either stay on 280 or you can turn right and go to Belleville, or you can turn left and go on 169 and keep going. It said 3 miles down the road, and I was only for local traffic. I said, Preacher, where's it going? Well, you're only going 3 miles. You're on the other side of that bridge. You got to go another way. You know, I'm thankful God leads us and guides us. He leads his children along. Amen. And it's through his word. It's not through man's way or man's thinking. It's through God's word. And he's always faithful in it. If you would take your Bibles this morning, turn over to the book of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter number 2. 2 Chronicles chapter number 2. Had a great, maybe it was because I was preaching, I don't know that I felt that it was so great, not because I was preaching it was great, but because I felt it was great. Amen. But I really believe God did a work in my heart for Faith Promise Mission. And I hope he did for yours. And as we look at that, and I was in prayer, in fact, even Saturday morning when I got up yesterday morning and was preparing to sit in front of my computer and look at the screen of just despair, trying to figure out what God wants. I was speaking with Sister Sarah yesterday afternoon, and I said, you know, I'm afraid that some preachers are really going to be greatly disappointed in the fact that they just get up and they wing it. I don't ever want to be to that place. I don't ever want to be to the place where I don't give you what God wants you to have. And so as I was praying yesterday morning, you know, I really want the Lord to speak to us as the church and give us what the church needs, not what I think. So as I came across this passage, by then. Probably still had lead on it. But anyway, you would have a little slot in the end of it. You could put it around there. Then you had the round one, and it had all these holes. And then you'd have a hole going this way, and you could build all of these things, or even Lincoln logs. You knew that on a Lincoln log, it was where the flat spot went and the other flat spot, that everything went together. Say, preacher, what are you getting at? That's not always how it is in life, is it? You see, in life, you've got to worry about it being secure. You've got to worry about it being square. You've got to worry about it being level. Level's good. Amen. You say, preacher, how do you know that? Well, because the man, when he built our house and he poured the slab, I believe he ran out of concrete. You see, because there's some spots in our house that the concrete goes like this. And that's usually because you just didn't have enough. Ran a little bit thin right there. And so you say, well, how do you compensate for that? Well, when you put the love seat here, it's got this much space on one end and this much space on the end. It's not quite that bad, but you shim it up. You make a shim for it. You have it to where it's level. I remember Jonathan had just got a wardrobe from a member in his church, and he said, Dad, I need you to come help me move it. And what that means is, Dad, I don't mind if you break your back with me. Amen. And so Jonathan and I, we're notorious for that. We'll get something and call the other one and say, I need you to help me. You just know it's pain. Amen. And so I went over there, and we got this wardrobe, and I said, son, where you wanting to set it? And we set it right there where he was wanting it. And when you'd open this door, he'd go. And when you shut it, it would level back out. I said, I don't think I'd put anything in it yet. He's like, well, what am I going to do? And I said, I've got some wedges. Amen. And I gave him some wedges, and boy, he's got it all squared up and ready to go. You say, Rachel, what are you getting at? Well, Solomon, in this time, is getting ready to build something that's never been built. If you remember the account with David, David desired to build God a home to dwell in. He had looked at his home and how beautiful his own home was, and he had said that I sit and I dwell in this beautiful home, and yet God dwells in a tent. And he said, I desire to build God a house to dwell in. And God said, I didn't tell you to build me a house to dwell in. And I'm not going to allow you to build it. Now, I like David's attitude. I'm not going to preach it. I'm not even going to chase the rabbit, but I am going to put it in your ear. And David said, that's fine. I'm not going to build it because God said, I'll let Solomon build it. But you're not going to build it. And David said, that's fine. I'm not going to be the builder. But you didn't say I couldn't make all the supplies for it. Amen. Boy, he had it in abundance. And so I look here and I find that Solomon's given this task to build the building, or build a building, for the only true God. In verse number 6, he says, how am I going to build this building that's so that has it's going to have a God dwell in it that the heavens can't even contain? May I tell you that Solomon sees his inadequacy? He says, boy, I don't know how to do this. And may I tell you, it's before the days of Google and before the days of YouTube. Amen. And so he said, how am I going to do this? How's this going to come? And some are going, boy, you know, preacher, we've got a church and everything's great. And I'm afraid that this is the plague of America. We think that this is the building that God would want us to build. I remember when I had a secular job, I had a man that I worked with that would always ask me how the building of the church is going. I said, the building's fine. Really don't have anything to build. I mean, really everything's built. We're just trying to maintain it. Amen. And I know that wasn't at all what he was talking about. He said, you're supposed to build the church. I said, no, it's not my church to build. I know it's amazing, but in America's eyes, they think that this is the building that's to be built. And it's not. Solomon got to build a beautiful building for the Lord, but may I tell you, only a picture, right? You see, God had a greater plan. He doesn't desire to dwell. And listen, I'm thankful. Could you imagine if we had a little room back here that we keep God shut up in? I'm afraid that there's a lot that do this. They have God shut up in this little room, and they don't take him anywhere. But see, God's desire wasn't to dwell in the church house, but his desire was to dwell in us. Now, I want you to take the Bible, hold your place, and look at 2 Chronicles. And I want you to look. I'm going to give you 6 books out of the New Testament. I know you're going to preach, this is overkill. That's all right. 6, verses 19 and 20. The Bible says, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." And that is, just for English sake, a possession. We are His possession. It says that ours, our body, our being, is all God's. Go on over, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, look at verse number 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, look at verse 16. Some of you have already cringed. You're like, "Oh, I hate 2 Corinthians chapter 6. So I can see it again later." Verse number 16, "Of what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Go on over into the book of Ephesians, chapter number 3. Ephesians 3. Look at verse 17. And I know I'm giving you a lot of scripture. I want you to see that God's serious about it. It's not about the building. It's about the building. It's not about us. It's not about the outside. It's about the inside that comes out.
That's right.
Amen. And so in Ephesians chapter number 3, verse number 17, it says that Christ may dwell in your, notice this, hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Go to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, look at verse 16. Colossians 3 and verse number 16. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with the grace in your hearts to the Lord." You say, "Preacher, where do you get that?" Because it's the word of God that dwells. Now, hold on a second. I know you're going to say, "Well, preacher, this is speaking about the word of God dwelling in us." May I remind you who the word is?
Amen.
Go on over into the book of 1 John chapter number 3, or chapter number 4. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John 4, verse number 13. 1 John chapter number 4, verse number 13. 1 John 4, 13. It says, "Hereby know that hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit." Preacher, what are you getting at? Over in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter number 2, and verse number 5, Solomon says, "And the house which I build is great, for great is our God above all gods." May I tell you something that Solomon didn't have? He didn't have God dwelling in him. I'm not saying he wasn't saved, but I'm telling you that the Holy Spirit did not indwell them in the manner that He indwells us today. Right. And he didn't know this. Listen, the only time, oh, by the way, Solomon couldn't come in the presence of God. He couldn't, if he wanted to and desired to, could not walk into the Holy of Holies. He couldn't. He couldn't go to the ark anytime he wanted to. I guess all I'm trying to say is, don't we have a greater reason to build a temple for the Lord in us? Don't we have a
Awesome.
sweet incense for the Lord. It was for continual showbread. It was for the burnt offering morning and evening on the Sabbath, on the new moons, and on the solemn feasts of the Lord our God. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? Well, I think about the supplication. It was for faith. I know you're going to say, preacher, how does supplication, when we normally look at it as prayer, how does that have to do with faith? And understand that this burnt incense, it was to be raised constantly. May I tell you that if you're going to pray without faith, you might as well not pray at all. The Bible teaches us that. Listen, folks, don't look at me like I'm speaking something. I know that we've got this idea in America that says that all you have to do is ask and God's going to... No! Asking without faith is not receiving at all. He said, have faith in God. Believe in God. You believe that you're going to receive. That tells me that faith's necessary. It reminds me that Solomon, well, he built it for the right purpose, to have faith in God. He built it as well for fellowship. You say, well, what do you mean it was a continual showbread? It was that communion. It was that fellowship with the Lord. It was that time where he could spend time. You know what's missing today? I'm not saying that you're not reading your Bible. I'm not saying you're not praying. But when's the last time you just chewed on it? You know, just got a hold of it. God really got a hold of you. Just chewed on it. Meditate. You remember what he told Joshua in the book of Joshua? He said that I want you to meditate on it day and night. Oh, we've got this agenda, and boy, Brother Richard, I'm just as guilty. I'll get up in the morning, and boy, early in the morning, I'm reading my Bible, I'm praying, I'm doing everything that I'm supposed to do. You say, boy, that's a good preacher. He's up and he's going, and boy, he's praying for us before we even get up. And then we go about our day, don't we? We have our agenda lined out. And I've got this going on, and I've got that going on, and I've got this going on. But when's the last time that we just chewed on it? I'm not saying that the Word of God should be to the point that it's like a piece of beef jerky that gets stuck between your teeth and you pick it out and chew on it a little longer. But it'd be good for it to be a piece of beef jerky that gets stuck between your teeth and you pick it out and chew on it a little longer. You understand what I'm saying? You get that? When's the last time we've really had that fellowship with the Lord? Just enjoy Him. We had mentioned that we had went to Brother Donnie and Sister Hazel's. We went over to Brother King's Sister Eve's. Had some time of fellowship. It was good. I enjoyed it. Brother Johnny was so funny. He brought his chair out there. He sat down. He sat there just talking with me. Sister Hazel talking with Sister Sarah. Just having a time. When's the last time that we just put a chair out so we could talk with the Lord? He's had that time of fellowship. Hey, listen. We brought a chair for Sarah and brought it for a reason. We plan on staying. You know, it'd do us some good to grab us a chair when it's time to go. I'm talking about having some fellowship with Christ. And then he goes on and he says that, hey, well, it's not just for that. I know you're going to say, preacher, it's for the sacrifices. It is. It's for forsaking. Why did he build the temple? To forsake himself. You'll never build the temple for the Lord or allow him to build the temple in you until you're willing to save yourself for Him. And Solomon said, look, it's so that we can sacrifice. It's so that we can have some time of pleasing Him. I think about Romans chapter number 12, verses 1 and 2. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies
God's mercy that keeps us here. And God's mercy keeps us from what we deserve. You see, David had sinned, and I know we can look at David, and it's hard sometimes as we consider David and we consider all that took place in David's life. I mean, he was an adulterous man. He was a murderous man. He was a liar. And yet, the Bible records him as a man after God's own heart. Why? Because he lifted up and saw the mercy of God. Lifted up his eyes. I know you're going to say, Preacher, I just don't understand why that's so important. You'll never build a temple to the Lord until you understand how merciful he really is. Do you understand Solomon didn't deserve to build the temple? May I remind you that, yes, in chapter number 2 of 2 Chronicles, Solomon's early in his kingdom. Solomon's early in his kingship. Solomon had just prayed a prayer unto God when God had showed up to him and he said, Solomon, tell me what you want. And Solomon was very bold. Solomon didn't ask for wealth. He didn't ask for the death of his enemies. He didn't ask for a long life. No, he wanted wisdom in how to judge Israel and how to come in and how to come out. He wanted to know what God wanted him to be. Chapter 2, God's already blessed him with everything. And now he's going to build. Now he comes to
brought it over here. But I'm thankful that day on Calvary that Jesus laid down and he was apprehended. He wasn't caught by no thorns. He was nailed to the cross for my sin. Oh, it wasn't Isaac that had to die. It was the Lamb of God that had to die. Oh, listen to me. We need to build it today on our salvation. I'm thankful that I can come to the place and I can see God's mercy. I was born in this whole world just a sinner. But I'm thankful that God looked down on me and he said, son, you don't deserve it. But my son died for you. And I've seen his grace. Accepted what he's done. Oh, listen to me. There was a place of building. If you're building here on anything other than your salvation, oh, my dear friend, it's in vain. It's in vain. And so I find the pattern for the building. I find the pattern for the building back over in our text. Not only do we find the plan, do we find the place, but I find the pattern. Look, if you would, verse number 3 of 2 Chronicles chapter 3. Verse number 3.
tie, and Brother Richard and Brother Russell, your tie, I mean, I could line up the stripes. You guys can't see this. I need to move the YouTube over this way and pan out that way. Amen. But this tie doesn't make you holy. It doesn't at all. But I'm telling you that what God's doing on the inside of one, he's supposed to be doing the inside of all.
That's right.
The Bible tells me that he's already predestinated that we're to be in the image of his son. May I tell you that means, I'm not saying that we're all clones and we all walk around and we all walk the same way. That's not at all what I'm saying. But if you've got the same God in you, the temple should look the same too.
Yeah.
Hello? You know, it's funny to me that people get mad when I begin to preach standards, but I'm talking about Bible standards. I'm talking about Bible truth. Oh, by the way, it's still the Bible today. May I tell you that the way that it was to look in Solomon's day is the same way that it was to look when they built it. It was the same way that David received it. May I tell you that my God is never changing. And if he lives and he dwells inside of me and someone says I can do this and everything's okay, something's wrong with the God that's in them.
Right.
I'm not trying to make a snap judgment. I'm not trying to be ugly with this. But I'm telling you, we've got a perverted idea today that says that God doesn't change me unless I want him to. I know you're going to say, preacher, I didn't think God's perfect. You know, now hold on a second. And I'm not even going to preach this, but I do believe that there's a sin unto death.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, you won't go around telling people that you're a child of the same king that I'm a child of and not desire to live for the king. Why is that? Because he's not a liar. I'm not trying to be mean. All I'm trying to get us to understand is I don't want to look like the rest of the temples that say that they're gods. I'm sick and tired of hearing about those that want to follow him and they look nothing like what he says he looks like.
Yeah.
Amen. Oh, it's amazing that I have Sister Kathy's got her I Love Jesus Christ on her mask. And you know, I guarantee you, because I just put that over YouTube, it's going to go viral, and boy, you're going to see that all over the stores. And people are going to have a thumbs up on Facebook. Not that I have Facebook. They're going to have it. If you have Facebook, put a thumbs up. I like Jesus on Facebook. Isn't that sorry that you got to do that? Because then right after it, you got all kinds of smut and filth.
You're right.
Hello. Brother Danny likes to call it too, Facebook. I think that's a pretty good name.
Yeah.
Amen. But it's sad because Solomon built it exactly the way God said. You know what we should focus on? Letting God build it exactly like he said. It's not so that you can please me. It's not so that you can please anyone else in the church. It's so that you can please the one that built it. Amen. And so I find here that the pattern involves attention to detail. They didn't change for Solomon. It changes us. You know, it's amazing to me. And I love to come to church. It's bugged me this whole time that we haven't just been able to come and do it. I love church. I, in the military. We had our PT test. Now, when I went to jump school, they told you, this is how many push-ups you got to do. This is how many sit-ups you got to do. This is how fast you got to run. And I remember this one guy, boy, he got down there and he's just knocking out all this push-up. And I was like, hey, Sergeant, realize when we get back, they're going to do plenty of that for us. We're going to be exercising all day long. And he's like, no, I'm going to max this. And I'm like, you go, buddy. They told me I had to do 60. You know how many I did? 60. I said, Sergeant Airborne, is that 60? He said, that was 60. I said, amen. Let him go. Actually, I said, Airborne. And did my sit-ups. Had to do my sit-ups. How many sit-ups do I need? 60. Did my sit-ups. Is that 60? That was 60. Airborne, got up and go. The preacher, what are you getting at? That's how we live our life. Now, I knew, but in the unit that I was in, you wanted to hit the max. You see, it wasn't just a run-of-the-mill unit. It wasn't just any unit. It wasn't one that you could just be in to be in. No, when I went into it, it was a unit that you had to be approved to be in, that you had to show them that you wanted to be there. You know what? I passed June 17th. 1998, I signed into the unit. My squad leader came down and got me. And he told me, ready? I'm like, for what? Tomorrow morning I want you to do a PT test. He told me where to go and meet. And I said, okay, I'll be here. So I went and I did my PT test. Maxed everything. Look at verse number 16. I know I gave this to you a moment ago. Notice shape us to be more like Him, why would we resist Him? Can I ask you about your building? We all understand that things wear out. Shingles only last so long. Just because they say 30 years, they're lying. Maybe you'd say there's some repairs that need to be done. Maybe you'd look and you'd go, you know, I know some areas spiritually in this building that God's wanting to build that I've got some areas that are lacking. I've got some areas that I've just kind of left neglected that I need to pick back up and get back on. Oh, my friend, we have a great God. He has proved Himself time and time again. I want to give Him the best. And all I can give Him is all of me. How about you? Is there an area that you'd say, Lord, I need to surrender that to you? I need to allow you to have it so that you can have the best building. Because He really is the one doing the building. We just have to allow Him. But Solomon said, the house that I build is going to be a great house. Why? Because He's a great God. He's above all the other gods. May I tell you how many gods are out there in this world? That they have somewhere.